You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
4 seconds left. Tampa Bay Lightning have won the Stanley Cup! Lightning strikes twice! The Tampa Bay Lightning win their second straight Stanley Cup!
Hello everybody and welcome back to RBL Lightning. As always, my name is Jake Rickard. Alongside me today is Tom Davis. Tom, welcome to the show. This is your first one, I believe. So welcome in. For anybody who doesn't know, Tom is the one that does all of the articles over on RBR Lightning. So Tom, welcome to the show. Super excited to get here started and start chatting with the Lightning as we get set for free agency, which is right around the corner. Lots to get into, but first and foremost, Tom, how you doing today, my friend?
I am doing absolutely awesome. It's great. It's the end of June and we're still talking hockey and there's news happening all the time about the Lightning. So it never slows down. So this is great. I'm glad to be here. Thrilled.
There has been a lot of news, especially involving the Lightning as of late. And we're going to get into all those free agency rumors and a look ahead on the free agency. We'll talk about the draft today as well. And we'll quickly look at the preseason schedule, which has been released. We got Dev Camp coming up right around the corner. So we are in the full swing of the offseason here for the Bolts. Welcome everybody in here with us live as well. We really appreciate you guys tuning in as always. Don't forget to like and subscribe, ring that bell for notifications, follow us on social media at RBR Lightning so you don't miss out when we do go live. And Beverly, thank you. Welcome Tom for his first ever show. All right, let's start though quickly with the preseason schedule. I almost forgot about this. We do want to bring it up because it's different this year, Tom. It is not our typical six game preseason schedule. It's only four games. And it's interesting the way they did this. So the Lightning are going to be playing the Nashville Predators and the Florida Panthers. They'll play the Predators on the 20th and the 22nd, and they'll play the Panthers on the 24th and 26th. And then they'll have one home, one away against each of those teams. So Carolina is the one that the Lightning typically do play in the preseason. Right. They're not playing them this year. I don't know if that's going to rotate in future years, but that is the schedule for the preseason. 1 at 5, 1 at 8, 1 at 7, 1 at 6. So you get all the different time zones.
Yeah, you do. You know, the best thing about that preseason schedule is I actually live in Southeast Missouri, 3 hours from Nashville, and my birthday is September 22nd, and the Lightning are playing in Nashville, 3 hours from my front door on my birthday. So I really appreciate Gary Bettman sending me a birthday gift like that. And that was nice. I will be the one person that says something nice about Gary Bettman today.
There you go. Well, you know what's funny? You say that. My birthday is September 30th, and they always usually would play a preseason game on September 30th. However, this year, there's a possibility we might have a regular season game on September 30th. So I'm happy about that. I still think it's really weird that I have to say hashtag is it September yet and not hashtag is it October yet anymore. I'm still not used to that. But that is the preseason schedule for the Bolts. So only four games because we're adding two to the regular season this year. We'll get into that more once the full regular season schedule comes out.
I do have I'd like to go to Vegas and see what the odds are on the penalty minutes in the first Florida preseason game. will we go over 100 penalty minutes that game?
Yeah, whatever it is, you can bet the over. And of course, if you don't know, the Tkachuk brothers have been reunited both in Florida. And we know both the Tkachuk brothers, whether it was Florida or with Ottawa, always had something to say against the Lightning. And poor Brandon Hagel, maybe he shouldn't play the last two preseason games. Not because he can't hang with those guys, but we don't need him getting hurt off the rip.
We do not need cheap shots. And you know, it'll be interesting to see the main veterans, how much they actually play in the preseason with the extra regular season games. I would not be surprised if it's a lot of prospects in those preseason games and they maybe play one game just to get ready for the regular season, maybe 1.5 games. So, I mean, I think it's going to be real limited in the preseason as far as Kucherov and Gensel and all those guys.
Well, it is an interesting point because typically, you know, every player is different. Some players like to play in those preseason games to get ready to go and ramp up. Some guys try not to push it too hard and risk injury. So it will be interesting to see how each team, how each player handles it. And if they're going to play more preseason games because there are less of them and they want to be able to get ready for the regular season, or if they will hold back and more of the prospects will get a shot. So only time will tell. Of course, no, once we get into the preseason, and we'll be here to cover it. It's another reason to make sure you like and subscribe and ring that bell for notifications, all that good fun stuff, so you don't miss out on those future episodes. And let's see, Beverly throwing up, had a couple of comments too, want to mention here, said, sweet, you may be able to see Ross Colton in Stammer. Yes, absolutely, with the Predators in town. And Gudis now back with the Panthers. Oh, that's right, Gudis back with the Panthers.
Yeah, just today.
So we've got Gudis, both Tkachuk brothers, and all the other Florida Panthers. Man, that team is going to be very annoying to play against. I'm not looking forward to that. Yeah. Oh, boy.
All right, they'll be healthy this year, so they're going to be a real, real tough matchup. That entire division is going to be brutal this coming year.
You know, the Atlantic Division always, the Eastern Conference in general has always been tough the last couple of years as well. So, but that brings up the interesting question too of how are the Lightning going to respond here, whether it was through the draft or through free agency, which is coming up. The draft did happen. Let's quickly recap that. Now, listen, Tom, I don't know about you, but I'm always of the opinion of, you know, you hear during the draft, and I get it's TV and they've got to make content, but all these players get these comparisons to current NHL players. Teams get grades on how they did. But really, you never know what's going to happen with these young kids who are getting drafted into the NHL. And really, I don't think you can judge a draft class until maybe 3 years at the very least. So, and again, I know these grades are mostly for content, but it's very hard to say, yeah, the Lightning did really good in this draft. Yeah, the Lightning did really bad, because at the end of the day, you don't know how these players are going to develop.
That's correct. Speaking of the 2026 draft, as far as a fair evaluation, the fans need to come back in 2030 and see what our opinion is, because we really don't know, unless you're drafting really high in the top 10 picks or something like that, and you're generally a pretty poor team where that guy's going to get a lot of ice time on a poor team. The Lightning are not set up to give a lot of time to a rookie. But having said that, Sam O'Reilly's probably going to be different from that this year. But I trust Julien Brisebois. He's done a great job in finding guys in the second, third, fourth rounds. So I have no idea how some of these guys will eventually pan out. But my guess is odds will show that we'll get one or two guys out of this draft who eventually will make an impact with us. And really, as late as we're drafting, and Julien has such a unique strategy where, and I understand why drafting 28th, 29th, 30th in the first round is not that great. And so I understand why he trades those picks. But I trust Julien that he's going to find a gem or two in those second, third, and fourth rounds.
Yeah, the Lightning haven't had a first round pick in how many years has it been now? I've lost track. I think even in the last 10 years, none of
there was there one were, 5 years ago. Oh, I just wrote it.
There were three picks that they have made in the first round of the last 10 years, but all three of those players are not even on the Lightning anymore. The first round has not been a friend of, now granted, they've used a lot of those picks to build the team, win those Stanley Cups when they went back. So that's a big part of it. I do disagree with you a little bit though. You say you trust JBB. I do too. He's a little iffy on the draft. That's been his one. JBB is very of the mindset of forget those picks. I'm going to build my team through free agency and trading. Steve Yzerman, for whatever reason, and I think mostly the scouting department is still the same. So you would think things would still transition over. But for whatever reason, with JBB, the draft classes haven't been as great. They haven't quite panned out yet here. So we'll see what happens with this next draft class.
But I will say this. JBB has done other things other than the draft to build this. He goes out and finds a Dominic James. He goes – Gage Gonzalez was through the draft. He goes and finds Charles-Edouard Destoux. And so he goes and gets other guys in other means. He makes a trade for Brandon Hagel. And so it's not just one way to build a roster, and he's found different ways to do it and made us a very competitive team. It doesn't matter, I guess, in my opinion, how you build the team, as long as you get to success. And we have certainly in the last decade plus gotten to success.
You're 100% right. I think the Lightning, with their biggest prime spot, and I think their window is still open, but in their main prime, they had the best of both worlds, right? You had Steve Yzerman, who did an unbelievable job of building that team through the draft with picks like Nikita Kucherov in the second round. Andre Palat, who was, I believe, a seventh rounder, if I remember correctly. All those great picks the Lightning had. And then you had JBB come in, who then pushed the Lightning over the top through other means of the draft, like you just pointed out, Tom. So the Lightning got the best of the both worlds there. By the way, in this draft, the Lightning, they came in with a couple of picks. They made a couple of minor trades to move things around. They ended up drafting six different guys. They drafted, let's see here, three forwards, two defensemen, and a goaltender. So basically they drafted a starting five. So hopefully maybe in 6 years you're going to have your a new starting five. But couple of picks, six total picks for the Lightning. Again, three forwards, two defensemen, and a goaltender. One in round two. You had one in round three, two in round five, one in round six, and one in round seven. So those are your picks for the Lightning. You can go out there and check out the other articles around on Lightning draft grades. But for the Lightning, again, kind of a minor draft and kind of takes a back seat to some of the other news that we've been seeing and going around right now, Tom.
Well, speaking real quick before we jump over to a different topic on the draft, the amazing thing is the developmental camp started today at 10 o'clock this morning at the Iceplex, and five of the six draft picks are in Tampa for the developmental camp this week, which is fascinating because it's not like they're from Atlanta or something. I mean, one guy's from California, but these guys are from Slovakia, a couple from Russia. And so the Lightning were so serious about wanting to get a look at these guys quickly. They're bringing these guys in quick right now from Russia to get a look at them. So it'll be fascinating over the next 5 days to kind of get a glimpse of some of these guys. Now they're 18, 19 years old. And so I'm not going to expect anybody to wow you really against tougher competition, but kudos to the Lightning to like, hey, we drafted you on Saturday. We want you in Tampa on Monday.
Well, and you do partially wonder if that goes back to our conversation earlier with there's only four preseason games this year. So you don't have that luxury, those two extra games where you can maybe sprinkle in a couple of more prospects and you want to start getting a look right away before the preseason rolls around. Beverly, by the way, said she is looking forward to seeing Oleg. I'm not going to try to pronounce that last name right now. I will learn the pronunciations at some point. But yes, Beverly.
Kulibyakin.
Pick.
Yeah, Kulibyakin. And he's really excited. He's a huge Nikita Kucherov fan, which he and 3 million other people are. And he's from Russia and he's a forward. And so, 4 years from now, maybe he's making an impact. Who knows?
How could you not be from Russia and not be a fan of Nikita Kucherov? He had a signed stick that he showed off to the media after he was drafted. So that was pretty cool. It's always fun when you have those full circle moments for these kids that are Lightning fans, grew up being Lightning fans, and then get drafted by that team. I know that makes it a special moment even more special.
Sure.
All right, let's talk about free agency, Tom, because that's probably the biggest topic right now for everybody. Free agency, which starts on July 1st. The Lightning are going to have $13 million in cap space. That's their current cap space, according to Puckpedia. First, though, we have two players that we do know are going to be hitting the free agent market from the Lightning, and that's going to be Corey Perry and Oliver Bjorkstrand. I know people are not going to be disappointed that Oliver Bjorkstrand is hitting the free agent market, but there are going to be two forward spots the Lightning potentially need to fill when it comes to guys that were on the team last year. Corey Perry is an interesting one, as always, because he's known to make the finals consistently, although maybe the cup streak is over now that he was eliminated in the first round with the Lightning. But two spots that they are going to have to fill. Any thoughts, Tom, here on Bjorkstrand and Perry headed to free agency?
Well, here's the thing about Bjorkstrand that catches my eye is I really am shocked that he did not fit in better than he did. I think that he did initially for about that first month and a half after the we picked him up in the trade deadline. Then he got injured and missed the playoffs. And this year, it just never clicked. And that, if you would have told me that in March of 2025, I would have been stunned, because I thought we're getting a 20-goal-a-game scorer. He's going to join the Lightning, an explosive offensive team. And I thought for sure things were going to click with him. So that brings me to today. All these fans that are clamoring, hey, we need to go out and get Dylan Larkin, or we need to get Zach Werenski, or we need to get John Carlson. You just never know. First of all, those guys are going to cost a lot of money if they're free agencies. Werenski, if you would trade for him, is going to cost a lot in personnel going the other way. You never know how guys are going to fit in your system, with in your locker room. And so you need to tap the brakes a little bit about the enthusiasm. I actually like the Lightning roster as it is, the Lightning organization as it is. And so I'm not clamoring for going out and actually getting a free agent. Having said that, Breezeball knows more about it than I do. And so it, maybe they will do that. But Bjorkstrand's a perfect example of like, hey, you can go out and get a free agent. I know he wasn't a free agent, he was a trade, but you just never know. So, and free agents, generally you tend to overpay to get a bigger name. Yes, it wins the press conference. Everybody's excited when you make the deal. But there's a price to pay for going out and getting a Dylan Larkin, for example. And he would be a trade as well. He's not a free agent. John Carlson would be a free agent, although Carolina just traded for his rights. You know, Jacob Trouba would be a free agent. Some Jamie Benn would be a free agent. Those guys. And so it's really expensive. I personally don't want to go out and get a free agent because we only have $13 million. And the other thing, and I know this is a long-winded answer to your question, but we have to think about 12 months from today. 12 months from today, I know in the last podcast you had said something about $41 million in salary cap. I actually looked on Puckpedia, and I'm not a math major, so I may be wrong. I'm not saying I'm – I think it's $34 million is all we have. And you know what? 12 months from now, 17 of that may go to Nikita Kucherov. And the reason I say 17 – which people are like, no, it'd only be 11 or 12. Or Jason Robertson just got offered $15 million by Seattle. If Jason Robertson's getting offered $15 million, 12 months from now with a higher salary cap, what is Nikita Kucherov going to be offered? It wouldn't stun me if he gets offered 17. There's half your 34 right there. And we have 10 total free agents next year. Now, you know, guys like Gergensens and Sabarin will probably not re-sign, but a lot of those younger ones will want to re-sign. And if you give 17 of your 34 to Kucherov, now you've got seven guys you want to re-sign, and you only got $17 million. And the NHL has a hard cap. There is no Larry Bird rule where you can exceed the cap to sign your own free agents. And the other thing about free agency is it only takes one insane team to screw everything up. One insane team could offer Kucherov $19 million, $18 million, $17 million. And then the Lightning are really put in a pickle because they're going to have to match it. And so, and Kucherov, I'm sure he loves Tampa. I'm sure he'd love to stay here. But he's not going to take $13 million from Tampa if somebody else is offering him $17 million over 7 years.
Well, there's a lot to break down here, right? Because it gets interesting. Let's start here. I will say that according to Puckpedia, the projected cap space is $41 million. Now that's projected. It depends on.
Are you going with $113 million salary cap? Because it's going to be 100.
I don't know. That's what just Puckpedia says.
I hope you're right.
Either way, right. And yes, the Lightning are going to have a lot of people to potentially sign. But see, now this is why I'm going to kind of disagree with you going into this year. I would like to see them make a push with that $13 million. It's not a lot. Other teams do have the money as well. But it's going to be tougher, as you mentioned there, to re-sign everybody because they have a lot more free agents next year. Right. than they do this upcoming year. So this may be getting close to the end of that potential window. Now, I've heard that term so many times. The Lightning's window keeps getting pushed back because JBV has done such a good job. So I would like to see them go out and get some free agents. As for Nikita Kucherov, hopefully he gets re-signed. He didn't even get to test the free agent market. Lightning are usually pretty good about getting their free agent signed early on. So we'll see how that plays out. You hope he maybe takes a little bit of a hometown discount, no state tax, all that fun stuff. We'll see where that number lands. I would honestly give him a blank check at this point. He's been that good. But that'll be, of course, a conversation as we get into next year and when those negotiations start happening. Specifically for this year, though, I do think they need to make a move. Because I do like the team as is. Don't get me wrong. I agree with you on that. But, I mean, listen, we've had four straight first-round exits. They're clearly – needs to be some addition for this team to get a little better, whether that's the depth forward core or maybe some defensive back end. And of course, the biggest news has been Werenski. The Lightning apparently are very interested in him. Now, he's a big name. That's not typical JBB. He usually goes off for the off the radar guys. Heck, Brandon Hagel was an off the radar guy that nobody expected him to go out and get. So I don't know what he's going to do. The Werenski news to me feels like Erik Karlsson all over again, if you remember that, where there are a lot of rumors that the Lightning were going in on Erik Karlsson. That never ended up happening. John Karlsson, as you mentioned, was a potential target for the Lightning. And a lot of people said that they were going to sign him. He ends up going to Carolina. I almost wondered, too, if JBB realized Carolina is going to go trade for him and he didn't want to do that. And maybe that's why he moved over to potentially Werenski. It's hard to say, but it seems like right now their biggest focus is defense. Maybe thinking about potentially helping out Victor Hedman, who's been kind of struggling the last couple of years and is getting older. Only time will tell here, but I would like to see them make a push somewhere.
Well, there's a lot there to talk about. Let's stick with the defense right now and Werenski. So we've got, if you want to trade for Zach Werenski, the reigning Norris trophy winner, it's going to cost you three players from the Lightning. I'll tell you who it's going to be. It's going to be J.J. Moser. Yep, that's going to be one. So you're trading a 26-year-old who's going to be good for the next decade. It's going to be either Braden Point or Anthony Cirelli. And then it's going to be one of your four guys, Gonzalez, O'Reilly, Geeky, or James, one of those four. So you're going to trade those three players for Werenski. Now, here's the thing. Werenski's a free agent in 2 years. So you would get him for 2 years. And maybe he loves it here. Maybe it clicks. And maybe we win a Stanley Cup. And it's awesome. And you're crossing your fingers all that happens. Maybe 2 years from 24 months from now, Calgary offers him an insane contract and he can't turn it down, and you gave up Moser, Point, and Geeky, for argument's sake, for 2 years as Zach Werenski and didn't get a Stanley Cup out of it. And so you have to think in terms of that. So that's a big price to pay. And if we talk about the back end of our defense, okay, so Moser and Cernak are going to be one of our lines. Hedman and Destu is going to be the second line. McDonough and... who is it? Lilleberg's going to be there. Max Crozier's going to be in there. And so who are you getting rid of to make room for a bat? Let's say we go out and get a free agent defenseman. Are you moving Lilleberg to Syracuse? Are you going to just put him up in the press box? And I know injuries will happen, so he'll play 20, 25 games because of injuries. But here's the other thing you need to think about with Lilleberg. If Destu beats out Lilleberg for that sixth spot on the defensive rotation, Lilleberg's a free agent in 1 year. If we give him a mismatch year of 20 games on the ice with the Lightning, 20 games sitting in the press box, 30 games in Syracuse, 12 months from now, he's going to do exactly what Mitchell Chafee is going to do this summer and say, you know, forget this. I'm an NHL player. I want to be on the ice. I'm going to sign with somebody that will put me on the ice. And the Lightning aren't going to put me on the ice for 84 games. And so there you just spent all this time developing Lilleberg and, coaching him and getting him up to this level, and you let him just walk out the door. So I'm not a huge fan. That's why I don't want the free agent signing. So unless it's just something that we can't possibly turn down, because you're going to be taking Lilleberg or Destu, one of those two, and kicking them to the curb, essentially. And I, again, I know they'll play 20, 25 games due to injury, but I'm counting on Victor Hedman coming back and having a normal season for a 35, 36 year old. He'll be 36 in the middle of the season. So that's my thoughts on Werenski. And then I've got more thoughts on the depth scoring and the faceoffs. We'll get to that in a minute, but that's my my defensive thoughts.
I don't think the Lightning are going to go out and trade for Werenski, just because they did come out and say that Columbus is looking for players that can help now. And I don't know if the Lightning have the pieces to do it.
Moser and Point are two players that would be phenomenal for them.
Sure, but I don't think the Lightning are going to move J.J. Moser potentially. They might. I don't know.
The Blue Jackets would need somebody to replace Werenski. So they need a defenseman in return.
Well, correct. And that's what I'm saying. And that I don't know that. That's why I don't think that trade could potentially work, just because they want NHL talent. I don't know if that quite works out for the Lightning. I don't think I'd want to move Moser. But again, I'm not JBB, and right. I don't know. And yeah. This is the other thing too. We're playing a lot of what ifs here. And that's the one thing I will say is, like, you know, you say, what if the Lightning go out and spend all this money and they don't win a cup? But to play devil's advocate, you could say, what if they do go and spend this money and they win back-to-back Stanley Cups, right, like they were able to win 2021? So, you know, it's tough to say there. The only thing I know is that they have struggled the last couple of years, and I think they've got to make a push somewhere. You at least do have some kind of cap flexibility here to potentially make some kind of push somewhere. The other piece of this puzzle, too, with Columbus is that it has been reported that Marchenko from the Blue Jackets is going to be leaving the team, and they might move him as well. I want to get to a couple of comments here. Let's start with Beverly, and said, I don't think we should get anyone. Our young guys need to get time to develop. Wait till next March and see if we need anything. Yeah, I mean, Beverly agreeing with Tom, I think, for the most part there, in that, you know, and yes, you do want to see what your young guys are able to do. But I think you gotta go for it. And if you wait till next year, again, you don't know how free agency is going to play out. The Lightning have a lot of players to potentially re-sign. So that's where I get a little worried about waiting to see when your window, I believe, is right now, and you got to make that push at some point.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay. So our first line is, Kucherov, Cirelli, Hagel, Gensel and Point and Gonzalez are our top six, right? Our third line this year, Gord, Gergensens, and Holmberg, who, by the way, Holmberg didn't play 1 second in the playoffs this year. And we lost in the closest playoff series in the history of the National Hockey League. That would have made a huge difference. That third line this year on many, many nights was the most impactful line that we had. And so Julian's going to want to bring that line back. So that moves Nick Paul to the fourth line. And there's only two other spots on that fourth line. And you've got Dominic James, Sam O'Reilly. Who am I leaving out here? Jacob Peltier, who was arguably the best player in the AHL this year. Connor Geeky, Nick Abruzzese. We've got him. And Scott Sabourin got a lot of time this year. Those are all that's like five names for two spots. So are you going to tell Dominic James this year he's in Syracuse, or he's a healthy scratch after the year that he had? Or are you going to do that with Sam O'Reilly, who's one of four players to get three MVP awards in a single season in the OHL? I mean, are you going to do that with Connor Geeky? Which, by the way, if you tell Connor Geeky again that you're going to be all over the place, 20 games here, 30 games there, 20 games in the press box, he's going to do what Lilleberg and Chafee are doing and say, you know what, 12 months from now, I'm a free agent. I'm gone. I'm going to go someplace I can play. And so I understand, hey, we need depth scoring. Well, the depth scoring is Gage Gonzalez is a year older and a year better. Dominic James is a year older and a year better. Connor Geeky's a year older and a year better. Nick Paul is actually healthy this year. Victor Hedman, who gave us absolutely zero last year, is going to be hopefully healthy this year. There's your depth scoring, is all those guys. And so now the faceoff, Nick Paul, again, is going to be healthy this year. He's going to be better in the faceoff than or be at least available more than he was last year. And so, and Cirelli and Point are going to be better in the faceoff. And so all of those areas can be improved internally with our young players. But I think if you go out and sign, let's say, a $4 million player to be on your fourth line, you just sent Connor Geeky back to Syracuse or Dominic James or Dylan Duke doesn't get any more reps up here. And he's another guy that'll leave. And Jacob Pelletier is going to be like, I'm an NHL player, which he is. And he's going to sign next year with somebody. So I think that long term, it really hurts us more than it'll help us. I'm counting on those young guys being better.
There are definitely some fair points and some fair arguments. My argument against that would be, hey, look at what happened to some of the guys that didn't want to be here and how it's worked out for them, like Isaac Howard, who said, oh, I'm an NHL player. I'm going to go somewhere else. That's the devil advocate argument there, too. And yes, there are some young players that could potentially step up and help us. Problem is we don't know if they're ready, what the Lightning think that they could potentially do here. I hope Ryan O'Reilly gets a shot very soon. He's been excellent down there in the minors, but we'll see where he's at come development camp in summer of preseason. I still think, though, that you can go get players that are better. And you mentioned Dominic James. I don't think Dominic James is the mainstay in this lineup for me. No question about
it. Okay, well, Nick Paul and Dominic James are two of the fourth line then. So you only got one other spot. And you got
Though on some of the names that you mentioned, I think the Lightning could potentially upgrade. And listen, if Scott Sabourin gets pushed to the side because we're able to go get somebody else out, that doesn't bother me a whole ton.
So what do you do with Connor Geeky?
I see. So here's the thing with Connor Geeky. I know a lot of people are very high on him. I personally have just not been sold on Connor Geeky. And, you know, I don't know. I was surprised when the Lightning initially had sent him down and kind of left him down there. I thought they were going to go for it with him. But I don't know what their plan is. Honestly, I would potentially trade him. He was talked about being used in a trade with Columbus, as you kind of mentioned earlier with Rinsky. Right. Yeah. So I would move. And that's the other thing you can argue here is that, yes, there's some players that could potentially get pushed down to the AHL and not have spots for, but you can use those guys to trade them to get somebody. Here's a couple of comments we do need to get to here. I want to start with appreciate everybody tuning in, everybody, by the way, and joining the conversation here. Don't forget to drop your comments down below. Let us know, who should the Lightning go after? What do you think about the Werenski potential situation and trading for them? We'd love to hear from you guys, as always. Daniel said, Point is going to waive his no-movement clause and go to Columbus. That's definitely a possibility. I know a lot of fans are very against Point right now after the rough ending to the season that he had. Daniel also said, you wait till March and you're going to miss the playoffs. I agree that if you wait till March, you're going to not do well. I don't think they'll miss the playoffs. No. But I do understand where you're coming from in the argument of waiting till March. Let's see what else.
This team, with all those young players, won 50 games this year and was battling for the division title till the very last day. And we lost to Montreal by a millimeter. And by the way, we did not have Holmberg. Destu got injured in the playoffs. And so we had all this Hedman didn't play a single second in the playoffs. And he's a Hall of Fame player. And we lost by a millimeter. And so let's not turn this into, and I know you're not. I'm talking to the listener. Let's not turn this into the Lightning are going to be in fourth place next year if we don't make a move. That's not going to happen. We very well may win the division with this organization as it stands right now.
I also need to correct myself. I read that comment wrong from Daniel. He said Point isn't going to waive his no movement clause to go to Columbus. Right. So my apologies, because Daniel did follow it up in saying that if you trade for Werenski, I don't think it's going to be 81 and 21 going back. It's Lilleberg, Geeky, young cost controlled players. Also, both 81 and 21 weren't going to waive their trade clauses for Columbus. I do agree with you, Daniel, in the sense of I don't think that would be the package that the Lightning would send. The only thing that was my initial thought, right, when I first heard this Werenski news, is like Geeky whatever the heck first round pick we still have left at this point. I don't even know.
2032.
Something like that. Yeah. That's what I thought initially. But then reports came out that Columbus wanted more NHL-ready talent. And yes, I do think Kiki's an NHL-ready talent. I just don't know how much of that we have that they would want where offer better. So that's the only thing that I don't know about. But yes, Daniel, that was my initial thought. And if they could send Geeky, Lilleberg, a first-round pick, whatever, to get Werenski, I am all over that.
I'm all for that. But there's no way Columbus would do that. They want Moser, and they want another veteran, and they want one of our young players. I mean, they've got the Norris Trophy winner. They hold all the cards. And Werenski has two more years left on his contract. He can't go anywhere. And so they can tell him, look, we either get what we want, or you're going to be in Columbus next year. Listen to that cannon fire off every time you score.
Daniel also said this team lost a 70-point defenseman, and the teams that have missed the playoffs have gotten significantly better. I do agree with you on that point, absolutely. And that's, again, why I would argue that the Lightning need to make a move here in free agency, whether it's a free agent signing or if it's via the trade. It doesn't matter to me which way you do it, but I do think they need to get better, especially with all these teams continuing to get better. I still think they'll make the playoffs even if they did nothing. Would it be close? Maybe. But you know, you never know how the season's going to end up playing out. But I do, they definitely need to make a move. I think there's no doubt about that.
We are adding a Hall of Fame defenseman this year. His name's Victor Hedman, and he gave us nothing last year, and we're adding him this year.
But to be fair, Hedman is getting older, and you know, you don't know how he's going to be this year. You hope he's going to be healthy and back to his old self, absolutely. But I also think that you can't. You're adding him, but I still think even with a healthy Hedman back, what he's able to do at this age, I think you still got to go out there and make a move. Because even with a healthy Hedman, not last year, but the year before that, Lightning still were not able to get out of the first round. So that would be my argument there.
Well, if it makes you all of you guys feel better, I think you're right in that Tampa Bay will go out and make a move. If I had to lay $100 down, I would guess that we make either a trade or a free agent signing or both. I do not think Julian will sit tight. So I do not think Julian's going to listen to me and sit tight. But so I think you guys are right, if that makes you feel any better.
Let's quickly here. I want to run over some of the potential free agents. We are running out of time here, unfortunately. And listen, we'll be back to break it all down once we know what the Lightning did do in free agency. Yeah. And we can have more of a conversation at that point. Was this good? Was this bad? Because, again, a lot of this is all speculation at the end of the day, and we just don't know what's going to happen. By the way, real quick, Beverly said the young kids are going to be hungry. We'll be fine. I do believe the young kids will be hungry. Listen, that's my perfect world is, you know, sprinkle some of those younger guys, like maybe a Ryan O'Reilly. I don't know who's going to be ready again, what happens to development camp. And then also a sprinkle of one or two free agents. And then whatever the rest of the team gets filled out from last year. That's my ideal scenario. But potential free agents, you know, there is still a lot out there. You got, of course, the big name on the free agency list right now is still Alex Ovechkin. You very wonder what's going to happen with him. I would imagine he's going to go back to the Capitals, but you got Anthony Mantha, Patrick Kane, Victor Arvidsson, Matt Zuccarello, Claude Giroux. That's a name, by the way, that I'm very interested in. I don't know if JBV would go out and do it, but Claude Giroux, obviously an older player, has made a lot of money. You could potentially sign him for cheap, and he's very good in the faceoff circle, which you kind of mentioned, Tom.
You were right about that. That's the type of signing that Julian usually goes out and does, is like an older guy that will only have to sign for 2 or 3 years at the most. And he wants to go to Tampa and enjoy the warm weather and win a lot of games and play for John Cooper and et cetera, et cetera. So you may be right. And Giroux had 49 points this year. Like the guy can still play. And so you are correct. Julian will more than likely get somebody like that than he would Jacob Trouba, which would end up costing $11 million.
I would love a Claude Giroux. I don't know if it'll happen. I haven't heard anything on him, but time will tell. Also, Daniel, yes, you're on me today. You're correcting me. I said Ryan O'Reilly. He is not a young guy. Sam O'Reilly. Ryan O'Reilly, Sam O'Reilly. You know.
Yeah, Sam's 20. So Sam's going to be good for the Lightning for the next 15 years.
But yes, Daniel, thank you for correcting me. Sam O'Reilly is what I meant. Beverly also said Glenn Denning is available too. Is he a free agent again too? I would love Glenn Denning back. I was bummed when he did not get re-signed. So I think faceoff is absolutely something they need to address. Luke Glenn Denning and Claude Drew are two guys that are very good in the faceoff circle. And again, all this speculation, you know, these rumors that you hear, you just never know. We heard a lot about Erik Karlsson come to the Lightning. That never happened. We've heard a lot about Werenski, and it seems as Tampa is one of the teams pushing the hardest for, but time will tell. Tom, any other
thoughts this week? Yeah, we heard a lot about John Karlsson this week, who would have been a type of Julian-type
coming to Tampa.
Yeah, and but now Carolina holds his rights. They traded for his rights, so that means that they're going to end up signing him. So, but we'll see. But who knows?
And that's the truth. Who knows? And that's the fun of sports, right? We don't know what's going to happen. But again, I recommend make sure you like, subscribe, ring the bell for notifications so you don't miss out on future episodes, because we will absolutely be breaking down all the Lightning's moves once we find out. Starting July 1st, when free agency gets rolling. I think some people expect this maybe a little bit boring free agency. I'm very excited for this free agency, for the NHL in general. Let's, Daniel threw in one more comment. Let's bring it up real quick. I honestly don't think Werenski ends up in Tampa. I think they checked in on him like they always do. Daniel, I do tend to agree with you there. I hope they can pull it off and get him somehow, but I personally don't potentially seeing it happening. But as Tom said, who knows? Yeah. By the way, don't forget to check out and pick up some of the RBLR merch as well over at shop.rblrsports.com. Lightning, Bucks, Rays, Rowdies, Sun, team-inspired merchandise. You can use promo code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. You guys get a cool T-shirt. Help support the channel. We really do appreciate it. Links, as always, are in the description below. Guys, that is going to do it for us in this episode. Tom, thank you so much for joining us
on the first episode.
Hope you had fun. But with that said, we will see you guys in the next one. As always, go Bolts.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.